the image once again wheeled to the huge triangle that dominated the view. Then it zoomed. A dark mote was visible in the center. As the zoom went on, this grew and resolved itself as a circular pore.
"Give us some distance," the captain ordered.
"Brace for emergency acceleration. 3, 2, 1, now," said another voice.
And then everything went out of whack for a minute. People and stuff flew around. Loud clunks and hisses sounded. Everything that was loose ended up plastered against the bulkhead closest to the icosahedron as the capsule accelerated away from it. The woman holding the spelecaptor did her share of gasping and cursing. But soon enough, she got it pointed back out the window.
"Something is coming out of that port,"
Jessrey announced. And once again we were treated to a long, veering zoom-in. But this time, the hole wasn't crisp-edged and black. It was pinkish, its boundaries ill-defined. The pink part was moving. It separated itself from the base of the icosahedron. It had been cast off. It was adrift in space. The hole irised shut behind it.
"That doesn't look like a nuke," someone said.
"Understatement of the year," Saman muttered.
"Move in on it. Brace for acceleration. 3, 2, 1, now."
There was another messy scene as the capsule reversed its direction and began heading back toward the icosahedron. Yet again we had to wait as the indefatigable woman with the spelecaptor made her way back to that tiny, filthy window and reacquired the shot. She gasped. So did I.
"What is it?"
asked one of the voices. They couldn't see what I could see, because they weren't peering at it through magnifying optics.
"It's him," said the woman holding the spelecaptor. "It's the Warden of Heaven."
She refrained from mentioning one important detail, which was that he was stark naked.
"They threw the Warden of Heaven out the airlock."
Saman stopped it.
"That has become the hip catchphrase of the moment," he told me. "Technically, though, it's not an airlock. It's the port where they spit out the little nukes."
The warden at this point was still small and poorly resolved, but he had been getting bigger, and I had been steeling myself for what he would look like close up.
"I can keep playing it if you want," Saman offered, none too enthusiastically. "Or..."
"I've seen enough gore for one day, thanks," I said.
"Don't you explode or something?"
"There was a little bit of that. By the time they got him back into the capsule, well, it was a mess."
"So the geometers just executed him?"
"This is not known. He might have died of natural causes. They found a burst aneurysm on autopsy."
"I imagine they found a lot of burst stuff."
"Ew,"
Cord said from up front.
"Exactly. So it's hard to say whether it blew before or after he was thrown out."
"Have the geometers sent out any communications since this happened?"
"We'd have no way of knowing that. This spele was leaked. Other than that, the powers that be have managed to control information pretty effectively."
"Is everyone looking at this spele? Does the whole world know about it?"
"The powers that be have shut down most of the reticulum in order to control propagation of this spele," Saman said. "So only a few people have seen it. Most people, if they've heard anything, have only heard rumors."
"That's almost worse than facts," I said, and told him about Magister Sark. "When did this happen?" I asked.
"While we were going over the pole," he said. "The capsule landed a day later with the warden's remains on board. Meanwhile, the military had begun moving toward the poles, as you found out."
"Which makes no sense to me," I mentioned.
"I am told that the Hedron is in an orbit that confines its ground track to a belt around the equator."
"Yes, and so if you go to the far north or south, you can get out from under it."
"And maybe out of reach of its weapons?"
"It depends on what kind of weapons they are. But the part that doesn't make sense to me is that the geometers could change their orbit any time they wanted to. The first few months they were here, they were in a polar orbit, remember?"
"Yes, of course I remember,"
Saman said. "Then they changed and..."
"And what?"
Saman asked, after a while, since I'd gone silent.
"And I saw, Ayla and I saw,
light from the nukes that they fired to make that change in their orbit. Plane change maneuvers are expensive. For them to change back to a polar orbit now, where they could shoot down on our military forces at the poles, they'd have to fire that many nukes again. I looked at Saman.
They're out of fuel.
You mean out of nukes?
Yeah. Nuclear bombs are the fuel that makes the ship go. They can only store so many of them. When they run low, they have to
go get more, Saman said.
Which means zeroing in on a technically advanced civilization and raiding them, pillaging their stockpile of nuclear material, which in our case means
Edhar, Rambolf, and Tredegar, Saman said.
That was the message they were sending on the night that the lasers shone down, I said. The night I was evoked.
The night Fra Orlo walked down off of Bly's Butte, Cord put in,
and headed for Ekba